Well, that's a pretty good song, isn't it? Y'all know that's one of my favorite songs they sing. Are y'all awake this morning? Amen. Listen, the song we just sang, I Need You, that's beautiful. But I want to tell y'all something before I forget again. Do y'all need Jesus? Yes. Amen. We all do. Neil needs you. Neil needs you. You know, Neil, the one who's been doing all this since all this pandemic started, Neil needs you. He needs somebody to step up and help with the internet. So if you'd like to do that, if you know, Neil, it's easy, right? You can train somebody real easy. Look at him. He said, yes, sir. So if you'd like to help with that ministry, and it is a ministry, please see Neil afterwards. Amen. Kim, thank you for the beautiful flowers. Have y'all seen flowers past 2 or 3 weeks? Amy, I get in the car and Amy says, you didn't say anything about the flowers. You didn't say anything about the flowers. Well, Kim, they're beautiful. I could do okay, but I couldn't do that. Turn with me in your Bibles this morning to the book of Psalms. Psalm 100. Last week we looked at Deuteronomy chapter 31, verses 1 through 6, and we saw that Moses was about to die. He was just about to die. He came right to the threshold of the promised land, and he was just about to die. God had told him that he would not enter the promised land that was promised to the Hebrew children because his faith wavered at the waters of Meribeth Kadesh in the wilderness of Zin. By failing to treat God as holy in the presence of the Hebrew children that he personally led. We learn that the coming death of Moses was one of the reasons why the Hebrew children had fear in their hearts and their lives. Not knowing how Joshua, the next leader, would lead them through the Jordan and into the promised land was another reason they feared. They didn't know what Joshua's leadership style was going to be. We learn that the people still had an unhealthy fear of the people who possessed the land that God was going to give them. I don't understand that. I never will. God promised them, Jeff Poth, that he was going to give them this land. And yet they still feared the people who possessed the land. And another fear that once they inherited the land, that those people who were in the land would continue to fight against them. Now, Moses gave the people the words of wisdom that God had given them. And those words we learned applied to us when we face uncertain fear. I don't know what's going to happen in your life this week. I don't have a clue. But I promise you this. You will face some sort of fear this week. Probably today. Some sort of fear. Now, we need to learn how to categorize that and recognize fear as fear, but you do realize that fear is what? Sin. The only thing that we're to fear, according to Scripture, is what? God. That's the only thing we're to fear is God. Now, this is what Moses told the children. This is what God told Moses to tell the children. He said, be strong. Be courageous. Don't be terrified or afraid of them, for it is the Lord your God who goes with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. That's good news, church, is it not? That was last week. Y'all want some good news for this week? Come on, come on, come on. Do y'all want some good news this week? Griffin, you ready for some good news? Okay, thank you. Thank you, brother. Thank you. Today we're going to hear an exhortation of praise to the Lord. Now, before I read it, Angie, you look like you're just on pins and needles, ready to go this morning. Before I read it, I want to explain something to you. Not this year, because this year has just really stunk. But in times past, Amy and I will plan something either with each other or with the children to do, and we plan way far out. Like our trips, we'll plan them and like we'll have a trip in July and we'll plan another trip when we get done with that trip to look forward to, right? So we have this like vacation countdown and every day it tells you, you have 364 days until your next, you know, trip or whatever. And as the time goes closer, the clock and the days get shorter. And you have this time of in your life when you're upstairs or wherever you are, and you get a little notification on your phone that says, you have three more days. And you just, you know, you start doing this right here. Woo, yes, Lord. Woo. Listen, y'all need to write this scripture down. You need to write Psalm 100 down. You need to put it in the front of your Bible. You might want to get lipstick, Courtney, and put it on the mirror in your bathroom. Psalm 100, because this is a day. This is a day, if you are a true believer in Jesus Christ, you're going to look forward to. You need to look forward to. It should get you excited. When you have a bad day, you just tell yourself, Psalm 100, Lord God, hey, it's coming. Psalm 100 is coming. When you have a bad day at work, or somebody cuts you off, or Steve, somebody looks at you when you forget your mask and they look nasty at you. Hey, Amy and I actually had somebody in Melbourne, Florida, these two older women. They looked at us and said, she said, what are you doing? She said, I'm sitting here looking at people with no masks on. And I'm like, hey, how you doing? You want a kiss? No, I didn't say that. I didn't say that. But listen, we all have bad days. Psalm 100 is a day to look forward to. I don't know the day that you can set it on an app on your calendar. I don't know. But the day is coming, and it's a day that we need to look forward to. So let's read Psalm 100. Now, I'm going to read this like we read at home, okay? Shout triumphantly to the Lord, all the earth. That's not how this is supposed to be read, y'all. It really isn't. Listen to this. Shout triumphantly to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before Him with joyful songs. Acknowledge that the Lord is good. He has made us. And we are His people, the sheep of His pasture. Enter His gates with thanksgiving. Let me say that again for all y'all who complain a lot. Listen to this. Enter His gates with thanksgiving, and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him and praise His name. For the Lord is good and His love is eternal. His faithfulness endures through all. Through all. Church, say it with me. Through all generations. Let's pray. Father, we come to You again, asking You to forgive us of our sins and where we fail You. God, we need to feel Your presence this morning. We need something to look forward to, God, when there's not a whole lot to look forward to. God, help us to see You in this scripture this morning. Help us to feel Your presence. Help us to walk away changed, not because of me, but because of the word preached this morning that You gave me. Help us to be a greater light in this world. To love more. There's so many people who drive by this church, Lord, that don't see the love that this church has to offer. Help us, Lord, to show that love. Help us to be inspired by Your word as we always are, Lord, this morning, that we might glorify Your name. In Jesus' name I do pray, and all God's children said, amen. Amen. Church, what we just read is possibly my favorite psalm. Quite possibly, it's my favorite psalm. Everybody picks which psalm is their favorite? 23rd, Psalm 23. I like that one. It's a good one. But Psalm 100, Miss Desi. Woo, I need Psalm 100. But the number one reason that I like it is because David is actually praising God. He's not looking at what's happening around him like he is so many times in other psalms. He does not seem worried, and he's not whining as it seems he does in many of his psalms. David is heard giving praise to God. Church, you do understand that this is what the people of God should be like, right? Right? This is what the people of God should be like. What we just read, we ourselves should be doing on a daily basis. That means every day.
Brother Kyle, you just don't know what I go through. It's so hard, I have to sleep on the couch.
Sometimes it's all right to sleep on the couch. Sometimes it's better off if you sleep on the couch. Right? It really is.
Well, Brother Kyle, you don't understand. Life is so oppressive for me. It is. It's such a,
listen, quit whining. Listen, quit whining. This is a psalm about praise. If you are a child of God, what is inside of you? Listen, pay attention, wake up. What is inside of you should make you want to praise God. It's almost like we forget who we are.
This is a bad day.
Yeah, I know. I know it's a bad day. But you still have a day to look forward to. What do I have to look forward to? If you have nothing to look forward to, if all hell is breaking loose around you, if everything is gone, you're losing everything, you still have Psalm 100 to look forward to. You really do. Well, Brother Kyle, I'm glad you're excited about Psalm 100, but I didn't get all you got out of it. Well, hold on. Hold on to the tiger's tail, because we're getting ready to get into it. Amen? Now, let us set the stage of what's happening in this psalm. Scholar John Phillips says this: the setting is millennial. It's not where David is. It's like David foresees it. He knows what he's writing is not about his time, but a coming time. So the setting is millennial. That means that what we hear taking place this morning has not yet happened and will not happen until after the rapture of the church and the 7 years tribulation here on this earth. But once those days are up, we will see this happen. Phillips continues to say, the place is Jerusalem. The scene is the temple. The occasion is the coronation of Jesus as priest king of the earth. The occasion is the coronation of Jesus, the priest king, over all the earth. That's a little better. Thank you, Dan. We need to go. Dan, go find that sign back here, brother. We're going to get to that part here in a second. Woo! The gates of the city are flung open for all mankind. The middle wall of petition, long since broken down in the church, is now down in the kingdom. You see, the church, when the church was established, it broke down the middle wall of petition with man's relationship between God and man. We can talk to God right now, and the Holy Spirit that dwells within us leads us, guides us, and directs us. The middle wall of petition is gone. But on this day, it's long gone. In the kingdom. Well, Brother Kyle, okay, I'm still not getting as excited as you are. Well, hold on. The courts of the sanctuary are open now for all people on the earth to dwell. Now remember, the rapture's taking place, the 7 years of tribulation take place. This is the start of the millennial reign of Christ. We're coronating Jesus as the priest king of all the earth. This time starts right now. There's no walls anymore. There's no walls anymore. Now anyone can come. Every person that's on the earth right now is either accepted Christ as their personal Savior prior to the rapture or during the tribulation, or they were already in heaven. What that means is every person you see, Melissa, is your brother and your sister in Christ. We all belong to one. Everybody else is gone. The lambs and the goats have been divided. It's all over and done with. We're standing in the presence of God. Now, anyone can come, Jew and Gentile, Greek and barbarian, Egyptian and Assyrian. The psalmist describes the coming reign of the king. Amen. Thank you, Miss Edie. Come on, Griffin, you had my back earlier, brother. The psalmist describes the coming reign of the king. Church, this is likely the most perfect and beautiful time in the history of the world. And we this morning are seeing a glimpse of what will take place. We have the opportunity to look past everything that's happening in our world today. Listen, I'm sick of the world. I am sick of the world. I'm sick of hearing the word virus. I'm sick of the statistics. I told y'all some time ago, Amy has not let me watch the news since, I think, mid-May. I don't watch the news, local, nothing, unless it's on a social media and I'm scrolling through, and sometimes she says, turn it off. I don't see it. But this morning we're looking past what's happening in our lives and in the world today. We look past the troubles of the world is going to face during the time of tribulation to see what will happen at the start of the millennial reign of Christ. So get with me now. Here's a line right here. This is what's happening in the world today. We're going to fast forward, Angie. This is the line where the church is going to be raptured and the 7-year millennial reign is going to start. We're going to fast forward it. We're going right here. So after the 7 years of tribulation, of unbelievable torment for anybody who's here on this earth who did not accept Jesus as their personal Savior before the rapture, they've lived through this. Now comes the millennial reign of Christ, the 1,000-year millennial reign. We're right there. Brother Carey, listen, 7-year tribulation is right here. It's right behind us. The 1,000-year millennial reign is before us, and we're sandwiched in between, and something unbelievable is getting ready to happen. Oh, Brother Kyle, what's going to happen? I just read it in Psalm 100. I did. That's what's going to happen. So what does our scripture tell us this morning? Y'all ready? Tracy, are you ready? Okay, I'm just checking. Oh, by the way, y'all need to save your drink bottles for Tracy. She needs your drink bottles. All soda, water, everything. Save your bottles for Tracy. That's kind of like a commercial. And you get to the plot, and they cut the commercial, right? So what does our scripture tell us this morning is going to take place during this time between the 7-year tribulation and when the actual millennial reign starts? Oh, my gosh, y'all, it's good. The first thing we see this morning during this time is seen in verse 1. We have an unreviled harmony. An unreviled harmony. This past week, I was coming and going. I was coming and going and coming and going. And it just so happens that I came to throw some stuff in the dumpster when they were having praise team practice here on Wednesday night. And I wanted to get a drink of water. I have a case of water in the refrigerator, so I walked in, got some water, and they were in here practicing my favorite song. Y'all know what my favorite song is, right? Lord, I need to thank you, Miss Edie. Miss Edie, you're very vocal this morning. If I was giving out prizes, you'd be in the lead right now, I'm telling you. Yes, you would. Lord, I need you. And I came in, and they saw me seeing them, and they smiled because I think they like to, you know, pull this song up and, you know, try to sneak it under and, you know, surprise the preacher. But this morning, Steve said, it was horrible Wednesday. He said, first time we sang, it was horrible. It's horrible. We just couldn't get it. All our voices weren't together. This morning, as we see in verse 1 of Psalm 100, we see an unrivaled harmony. I believe that at this point in every Christian's life, we have shouted to the Lord. Everybody in this room, I hope that at some point, even you complainers, even though, listen, your spiritual gift is seeing what others are doing wrong, you have to complain. I hope even you have at some point shouted to the Lord. I hope that you've shouted to the Lord. It may have been a private shout. Y'all know what I'm talking about, right? It might have been a private shout. You may have experienced a family breakthrough in the presence of a loved one, and you just could not contain yourself, and you shouted Jesus. It might have even surprised you. Doctor came in, and you've been worried all day about a diagnosis. Doctor comes in and says, test results come in, and everything's cleared. And listen, Mr. Crawford, you couldn't even contain yourself. Woo, praise Jesus. What did I just do? Woo. What did I just, well, you just praised God. You shouted. And y'all know that other people shout. It's not just Baptists and Pentecostals. Everybody shouts. If you're a Christian, the Holy Spirit, y'all know how when you're not feeling real well and you've got a cough, and you're trying to contain it, and boy, you try to, oh, golly, you try to contain it around people today, big time. But that little tickle gets in your throat, but you got to cough it. You, that felt good. I mean, that's what this, listen, when the Holy Spirit tickles your soul because of something that Jesus did, you, woo, praise you. Whoa, go. Miss Tina, you've got to shout. You've got to praise Jesus. You've got to just praise his name. Now, some will get excited from time to time when they hear their song sung, right? They'll get excited sometime when they hear their song sung or the word is being preached and just have to shout amen to the Lord. Listen, y'all, I feed off that. I've told you, I feed off that. I love it, Griffin. Some of you say hallelujah or praise God. I would have to say that on this day, today, that most of the shouting to the Lord is private. Private. Some of y'all just wait till you get in the shower and y'all have had a good day and God's blessed you and your reading of the word or your song came on and you just, oh, praise Jesus, praise him. Most shouting to the Lord is private. But not on this day. Not on this day. Not on Psalm 100 day. And that's what we're going to call it. That really. When we're in heaven and we're counting down the 7 years of tribulation. Dan, I believe there's going to be a clock somewhere in heaven and it's going to count down the 7 years. I believe there's going to be two clocks. The first one's going to be a 3.5 year because at 3.5 years, the time period, 3.5 years, something terrible is going to happen on earth, but something wonderful is going to happen in heaven. The Antichrist is going to desecrate the temple that's not been built in Jerusalem. I read this week, listen, they're starting to bake the showbread. Well, what do you mean they're starting to break the showbread? They're getting all the ingredients together. What does that mean? They're getting ready to build that temple. Brother Kyle, they're not going to build that temple. Oh, yes, they are. Scripture says that the Antichrist is going to desecrate that temple 3.5 years into the 7-year tribulation. That's going to be the first clock. We're going to count down to 3.5 years. And then we're going to have another 3.5 year. I believe there's going to be a clock. And once that clock starts getting close, listen, Bonnie, the saints of God are going to be up in heaven. Oh, Lord, here it comes. Here it comes. Here, listen, 7 days. 4 days, 3 days, 1 day, 17 hours, 16 hours, 10 hours, 3 hours, 1 hour. Listen, the saints of God are going to know. We're going to have a perfect idea of what's going to take place on this day. The people on earth ain't going to have a clue, but we're going to know because we've been in the presence of Jesus, and it's going to be unbelievable. Well, what's going to happen, Brother Kyle? I'm not going to tell you. Just calm down. I'm going to tell you here in a minute. We need to get excited about Psalm 100 day. Psalm 100 day. The second thing that we see happening in our scripture this morning is unrestrained happiness. That means if you're saved and you're a complainer, you're going to be turned into a happy person. Oh, 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 oh. Pray. Amen. That's good. The second thing we see is unrestrained happiness in verse 2. Look at verse 2. Verse 2 says this, "Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs." Now, John Phillips says the word presence can be referenced to face. Y'all with me? The word presence can be referenced to face. The essence of all true worship is to come into the presence of the Lord and to appear before his face in adoration. Church, the love of my life, as you know, is my wife. Y'all know that, right? Look at her this morning. Beautiful. She's the love of my life. Every time she walks into the room, after we've been separated for a period of time, my face lights up. It still does today. Now, understand this. I can tell you that without any doubt that I have never seen my Jesus' face. I haven't. We've seen artists' depictions of what Jesus might look like. And it's really, it's crazy. Because just about every country that you go to, they'll paint Jesus their color. So I've seen Jesus, you know, all the colors of the world, red, yellow, black, and white. Jesus, you know, we're precious in his sight. Well, I mean, I've seen Jesus in all colors. I want to tell y'all something. I don't know, Butch, I don't know what Jesus looks like. I ain't got a clue. There's only five things that I can identify Jesus with. The scars in his hands and his feet, and I believe there's scars above his brow from the thorns. I don't have a clue what Jesus looks like. But on this day of unrestrained happiness, when I see my Savior face to face, I believe that there's going to be people who have seen him in heaven, and they'll say, here he comes, here he comes, here he comes. But the people on earth, the only record they're going to have is what we have here today. They're going to know that the Savior has scars in his hands and his feet and on his brow. On this day, they're going to say, here he comes, here he comes. Have y'all ever been someplace and you're looking for somebody? Or, you know, there's like a big concert and, you know, people are looking to see when the main person is coming. I mean, they're looking and looking and looking. Bonnie, I believe on this day, that on the millennial reign on earth, people are going to say, he's coming, he's coming, he's coming. And people are going to start looking, and they're going to be looking in all directions. And then once they come close, face to face, and they realize that Jesus is standing right in front of them, listen, you can't contain yourself. It's like when my bride, the love of my life, walks in the room, everything lights up, my face, my eyes, I can feel the love in my heart. That is going to be what it's like when Jesus walks into our presence. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Unrestrained happiness. But this day is a day of perfect understanding as well. Now, church, we will understand God on this day like never before. Miss Desi, praise the Lord. Amen. I've got a bunch of questions. And he ain't got time to answer all my questions. Multiplied by 7 billion people. He doesn't have time for all that. The question why has been asked of God for so many reasons in life by every person who has ever walked this earth, who has ever lived. When we have asked this question at times, we may have been able to find an answer in Scripture, maybe. Or the Spirit of God may have whispered an answer in our ear. But many of our questions have gone unanswered until this day. On this day, on earth, all of humanity who has ever accepted Jesus as their Savior will stand before Him and understand the answers to all the questions of why. Why? You see, this is a perfect day. We're going to be in His presence. No more anticipation. Everything that we've ever wondered, every question that we've ever anticipated. Lord, why in the world did you pick Abraham? He was a pagan. Why did you pick him? God, I don't understand. Why in the world did you pick? Why did you pick Paul? He was Saul before, and he was persecuted. He was hunting down Christians and killing them. It was a very unconventional way that you saved Paul. Why did you meet him on the road to Damascus, but you won't meet Curly over here who's in a meth house? God, why did you do that with Paul? All of our questions, all the questions that we have in our minds on this day, every person who's accepted God, all our questions will be answered. That's good, church, is it not? That's a day to look forward to. Psalm 100 day. On this day, verse 4 tells us that we'll see thankfulness. Real thankfulness on the part of believers like never before. Well, Brother Kyle, what are you talking about? We sing about thankfulness, Donna. We sing about thankfulness, and we'll pray sometimes, and we'll say, "Oh Lord, we're so thankful. We're so thankful for how you loved us." We'll even tell people thank you from time to time. And sometimes we might be thankful, Jeff, sometimes it might be artificial thankful. Y'all know how your parents at Christmas time, I'll never forget. I've told y'all this story before, but I had a big box under the Christmas tree. It was the biggest box under the Christmas tree. It was a big box. Gary's big. And it said, "To Kyle," that's me, "from Mom and Dad." For weeks, I anticipated, Miss Bonnie, what in the world is in that box? Y'all know what happened. Y'all know what happened when Mom and Dad went to work, right? I picked that dude up and shook it. I shook it. I mean, everything I tried to imagine what was in that box. Gary, I even tried to lift the tape thinking, okay, I can unwrap this dude and still wrap it back up, and couldn't do it. I couldn't do it. The day finally came, Butch. I got to open that box. Y'all know what it was? It was a red, white, and blue crocheted blanket. I was like 12, 13, 14 years old. Y'all know what I did? I looked at my mom because I knew my mom did it, and I said, "Thank you. It's beautiful." Now, see, that wasn't special to me then. So really what I did, Butch, is I lied. I said thank you for something I wasn't thankful for. I'd like to have that blanket now, y'all. I really would. Because my mama made it with her hands. On this day, the day that we're talking about, Psalm 100 day, you will understand the concept of authentic thankfulness, right? When you understand the depths of what a person has done for you, then you are truly, truly, truly thankful. On this day, every person who has ever walked the earth and accepted Christ as their Savior will have full knowledge of what God did for them, how He pursued us in our sin, the pain He suffered to win us to Himself. We will know as He has always known, and we will be thankful. Truly thankful. Not half-heartedly thankful. Truly thankful. John Phillips says this before we get to verse 5. He says, "The prevailing thought throughout this psalm is that Jesus is crowned on earth at last. He has been acclaimed the world's rightful king. We are not merely following, listen one more time, we are not merely following the plea of a godly Levite for the reunification of the 12 tribes. The psalm goes far beyond that. We are seeing and experiencing Jesus face to face with all His glory, and this day for us will have no end. Ever." Ever. This is where it starts. The time of no more. Church, I want to address why. Now, very quickly, I'm just about done. Why? Why all of this is going to happen? Why is it necessary? Why will we go through all of this formality on Psalm 100 day? Look at verse 5. Why are we doing it? "For the Lord is good, and His love is eternal. His faithfulness endures through all generations." That is why we're going to do it. We're going to do it gladly, willingly, unbegrudgingly. We're going to look forward to it. I believe there's a clock in heaven right now that's counting down to the day that Jesus is coronated as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He takes His rightful place on this earth on the start of the 1,000-year millennial reign. Brother Kyle, how much longer? I don't know. But you can look at the days we're living in. They closely resemble Matthew 24. They closely resemble what's going to be starting to take place in Revelation chapter 6 through 9. How long, Brother Kyle? I don't have a clue. But I tell you this, Christian, you better get ready. You better turn that frown upside down. You better quit complaining and start giving glory to God, because this day is coming. Church, Jesus is worthy. He's always been worthy. But Angie Page, on this day, he is going to get the glory he has truly deserved all these years. He's worthy. Today we just saw a glimpse of what the first day of the millennial reign of Christ will look like. Gary, just a glimpse. Just a glimpse of what this day is going to look like. I do not know much about everything that will happen during this period of time apart from the little the Scripture tells us. But I do know this. Listen, I do know this. I know this. I will be there. And my voice will be unrestrained, and my praise will be pure, because Jesus is my Lord and Savior. It's not going to be anymore in the closet praising Jesus. Well, ain't nobody looking. Everybody's supposed to have their heads bowed and eyes closed, so I'll raise my hand. And there's not going to be any more of that. On this day, Courtney Mobley, people are going to be on earth saying, here he comes. Here he comes. Here he comes. And as he parts the sea of people, and he stands before him, and as he is crowned King of Kings, and he is given the proper recognition on the day that he's always deserved, there's going to be unrestrained praise and glory. Every single one of you tight-lipped Baptist Christians who won't praise God and give him the glory that he deserves right now, which you should every single day. You're going to be standing on top of pews, standing on top of boxes, standing on top of people's shoulders, saying, glory, glory to God. There's my Jesus. It's going to be unrestrained, and you are not going to be able to control it. It's what you should be doing today. Do you know my Jesus? Let's all stand, heads bowed and eyes closed. Father, we love you. And we thank you for this day. We thank you for your word. Help us, Lord God, to make a decision for you right now that we should have made a long time ago. And that's to praise you now while we still have time, the way we're going to praise you when we're in your presence. I pray that you'd move in a mighty way amongst your people during this time of invitation. In Jesus' name I do pray, with all heads bowed and all eyes closed, you need to come and just kneel down to this altar and spend some time with your Jesus. Will you come?